to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM, FM, shortwave, talk radio. The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up loud as it'll go.
Second hour of the National Intel Report here, folks, on this Friday, 11/28/08. I'm continuing with the information, ladies and gentlemen, which will be made in its entirety. I am not going to have that much time available to make a verbal presentation over the airwaves. We're just hitting the high spots here. By the way, in a letter to a member of the House and Ways and Means Committee, Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote, "I hope your committee will not permit doubt as to the constitutionality, however reasonable, to block the suggested legislation." Roosevelt didn't believe in constitutional checks and balances. He tried to destroy and prepared to defy the Supreme Court and Congress. He didn't believe in advice and consent or the rule of law. He waged war and made treaties without congressional approval. Sound familiar? He did not believe in representative government and often said that since Congress did not reflect the will of the people, they should be ignored. Probably the best exposition of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's procedures regarding the rule of law versus the rule of men was said by his top deputy, KGB agent Harry Hopkins. To his aides, he said, "I want to assure you that we are not afraid of exploring anything within the law, and we have here a lawyer who will declare anything you want to be legal." Who did we have under George Bush's attorney general? Mr. Gonzalez basically said the same thing. FDR defined democracy just as Joseph Stalin did, as the mere act of voting. Stalin says, "The only thing I need to do is control the vote. I don't care who votes and how. I just need to control the vote." The current crop of brainwashed trolls that praise Social Security as an enlightened benefit and Medicare as an advanced social compassion are already counted among the walking dead, or counted as the walking dead. Youth are indoctrinated to accept the Marxist orientation by prodigy freaks for basically a satanic state, folks, godless. Black-robed oppressors enforce the mandates of the Temple of Doom and incarcerate anybody they deemed a vigilante. The legacy of the New Deal conditioned the fools to accept the New World Order. Most inhabitants of the United States relish their subservient status and enthusiastically embrace their captivity. The most common attitude is that the world has become a global village for housing the thralls in a benign gulag. Accept your role, enjoy your condition, and praise your masters, as long as any vestige of the New Deal is considered legitimate. The prospects for restoring a true republic are futile. The notion of socialist benefit is abhorrent to any self-respecting person. Government management by bribes is insulting. Conformity and coercion are inevitable when people relinquish their natural rights to oppose seduction from the rapist. I would say that that's rather true. They want freedom, but they still want it conditionally. They still want their master's control.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest. Is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Here's a startling fact. The New World Order wants you dead. Chemicals and toxins are in the air. Biowarfare, drugs and unknown substances. Foods with no vitamins. Fast food for obesity. Fluoride in our water. How do we fight back? What do we do? Make a life change decision. Get ahead of the curve. GetTheT.com. That's GetTheT.com. Cleanse your body and internal organs. Lose weight and receive more energy. Get aboard the life change boat and say no to the dark side. All natural, and for about a dollar a day, you can win the race. GetTheT.com. Or call our friendly operators, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Don't be deceived by the bullies of the trade.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection. 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that what was fledged out in California was the working blueprint to be adopted nationwide by all governors and by all presidents since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, without fail. Without a shred of doubt. The New York Times Magazine, back in April 21st of 1935, did a story in the magazine talking about nine groups instead of the 48 states. Well, obviously, we have 10 regions of the United States now, because in 1935 there was no Hawaii nor any Alaska. And we even got the brainwashing at the breakfast table. And I still have the cereal box. It was on the backs, believe it or not, it was on the back of a Kix box. Of course, Kix being from General Mills and basically being a non-sweetened child cereal for breakfast, proudly proclaimed the 10 regions, America's regions, and explore this great land. I remember when that came out, somebody had sent me that the back of the cereal box. And it had the Pacific Coast, Washington, Oregon, California, the mountain region, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and Nevada, the Southwest comprising Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and Oklahoma, the Heartland. How many times have you heard that term used, folks? It's right out of the regional planning. right out of the regional governor's planning. North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri. The Great Lakes region, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. The Appalachian Highlands, comprising Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Virginia, and North Carolina. They split up into the Southeast region, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas, New England, the Mid-Atlantic, Pennsylvania, New York, all the New England states. Now, this article, which ran in the New York Times, as I said, April 21st, 1935, disclosed the primary reason for the new departments or regions, which was to make a drastic change in our form of government and to abolish our states. However, the outgoing governor of the state of Colorado, as I said earlier, blew the whistle on this unlawful activity, which exposed the plan, which brought this 1935 effort to a temporary halt. Everybody knew that if the states are abolished, our Constitution will be abolished as well, because the Constitution is a compact amongst the states which protects the natural rights of the people. At the conclusion of the article, it was admitted that there would be a great resistance to this plan. Those who favored it were called revisionists. Now, in this article in the New York Times in April 21st, 1935, nine groups instead of the 48 states. I'll just read a couple of excerpts out of this. There is a growing sentiment. It is still too vague to be termed a movement among certain members of Congress which advance social views and a willingness to break with tradition in favor of a drastic change in our form of government to facilitate nationwide reforms frequently blocked by the very nature of our confederation. Since obviously there is a political dynamite in any proposal to abolish states, insofar as they provide a check upon the federal government. No one has yet dared to broach publicly the thesis that the abolition would be in the public interest and is, in fact, a distinct possibility in somewhat distant future. Among those who would believe the courts should accept social and economic change as a controlling factor in approving or nullifying legislation, who are profoundly dissatisfied with the, well, at least to them, that is, artificial barriers provided by state lines, is Senator Wagner of New York. Wagner himself, a lawyer and a former justice of the High State Tribunal and a sponsor in his senatorial career of much social reform legislation. Has the federal government acted within the limits of its delegated authority under the Commerce Clause, or has it overstepped the boundary that separates national action from state action? Changing social and economic conditions transmute personal questions into special questions and state issues into national leagues. Skipping forward in this article, but how to bring about the greater cohesion, this enhancement of the federal government's powers to cross state lines for the general good? The most common, albeit the most startling proposal, is to abolish so-called states' rights entirely, preserving state lines only for sentimental reasons, and reapportion the United States into 8 or 10 great departments to be locally self-governed, but without the power to hamstring the national movement in its legislative acts. There would be a uniform system of marriage and divorce, a uniform system of social insurance and labor regulation, uniform national banking and uniform traffic regulations. And since the departmental governors, while elected, would be responsible to the president, just as county sheriffs are now responsible to the governor of the state, sufficient uniformity could be had in primary education and other matters ultimately affecting the national wheel, W-E-A-L. Now, aside from the aside from, and this was out of the, coming again out of the New York Times magazine, aside from the strictly legal and mechanical problems involved, clearly the greatest difficulty in the path of such a profound reorganization of our political system is sheer pride of statehood. While generally stronger in the East than in the West, this sentiment is a powerful force. There has appeared of late a remarkable resurgence of state consciousness and self-assertiveness on part of the states, some of which in the old pre-Depression days hardly knew that they even had boundaries. Whether the issue will ever be raised is a moot question. The revisionists may never be heard from publicly, and especially from the federal courts soon, experience a miraculous transformation and begin with unanimity interpreting law in the light of social change. People, and there's an update. The administrative units of the United Nations command. This is today's reality, folks. By keeping the people in utter ignorance, what was once a theory in the 30s thus became an accomplished fact. Dual governments have been in operation since the above United Nations 10 regions were installed. Constitutional government hangs on a thin thread. As soon as our guns get taken away, our constitution and individual land ownership will cease, which is the stated goal of the United Nations. Your state legislature could stop this again as it did in FDR's days. Now, President and CEO Bush's New World Order is a rehash of FDR's world government plans. The diagram of the U.S. on the left and describing that at that time was 9 regions, as I explained in 35. We didn't have Alaska or Hawaii. And this was set forth by the National Resource Planning Board in the 1930s, during which time the administration of the FDR and its stated purpose of abolishing the states. In the least, read the first paragraph and the last paragraph. Since the public outcry was so great, the Congress shut down the National Resource Planning Board in 1942. As I said earlier, it was only temporary. Now, the dormant plans were activated in 1969 under President Richard M. Nixon, who partitioned the nation thusly in order to install the regional system. In 35, regionalists were called revisionists. The plans today are the same as they were then, to disintegrate the states and the counties and to substitute a socialist management system. The new management system is not only geographical in change, it's a totally different concept of government, socially and economically. It means complete control, a totally centralized government in Washington, D.C. It is both totalitarianism and dictatorship, commanded under the United Nations system. As I said, we even had it handed to our kids in the back of a cereal box. In 1943, the 10 federal regions, by the way, who the facilitator was on this, Charles E. Merriman. He was born in 1874, and he died the year I was born. 10 federal regions in 1943, the National Resource Planning Board. Chairman, Frederick A. Delano. Vice Chairman, Charles E. Merriman. And George Yantis. Advisors were Henry S. Dennison and Beardsley Room. Directors in charge of Division A, Thomas C. Bladeswell. In charge of Division B, Ralph J. Watkins. In charge of Division C, Frank Herring. Consultant post-defense, Luther Gulick. Executive officer, Harold Merrill. Information and publication, Lloyd George. And then they break down the 10 federal field offices, of which they had already had people in place. We'll take this break, come back on the other side. Don't go away, folks.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
The headlines are clear. The worldwide economic collapse is here. The military is being positioned for martial law. The mark of the beast is at hand. Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system. Having a long-term food solution is your only hope to stay free. Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit. 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds. For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance. That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds for a penny per seed. 15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis. Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free. Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. A long-term food solution.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest. Is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, 1 out of every 2 men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of 1 Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Charles Merriman, the designer of this transformation from 1900 to 1920, is professor at the University of Chicago. He built a school on political science. He had a master in politics. He wrote several books on power, and he understood human behavior. People, power, and politics, all in one internationalist brain, made him the choice to lead in the transformation of a nation from a constitutional republic to a component of the global government, geopolitical and economic entity. Rockefeller Spelman Fund donated $8 million to get him to set up the Public Administration Clearinghouse in Chicago, Illinois, where he could direct the thinking of our public officials. Later, Rockefeller donated the land and $8 million to get the United Nations planted in New York, which provided the interlock needed for them to restructure the whole world into regionalism for their internationalist purposes. Merriman died in 1953, but he lived to see the United in 10 federal regions during World War II. FDR and Merriman wanted the regional development to take priority over the war effort. The bankers had too much money to make out of World War I Part II. That had to be put in abeyance. We got the United Nations in 1947. Now, Merriman was generally acknowledged to be the father of the behavioral approach to political science, a movement that between 1920 and 1940 transformed American political science from a historical field studying theory to a research field examining the psychology of all the forms of political activity. Hired by FDR, these three men were central figures in the early planning for the overthrow of the American government. As mentioned earlier, Luther H. Gulick, Charles E. Merriman, and Lewis Brownlow. Now, one of their intentions was to abolish the states and replace them with regions. They conceived the methodologies and techniques now being used in a gradual step-by-step transformation of the United States from a republic into a link in the socialist world order. They used the word democracy as a stand-in word for communist socialist practices and principles that were to come. Remember when I said that any politician within my hand reach will promptly be slapped if he used the word democracy? Now you understand why. Because the dimwits, either knowingly or unknowingly, are going right along with the destruction of this country. This country is a republic, constitutionally limited, a confederation of states, not a democracy. Gulick expressed his feelings for the states in this way. Is the state the appropriate instrumentality for the discharge of important functions? The answer is not a matter of conjecture or delicate appraisal. It's a matter of brutal record. The American state is finished. I do not predict that the states will go. I affirm that they have gone. Charles Merriman, who was the go-between, as I said earlier, for the Rockefeller family and Franklin D. Roosevelt, he stated this. Fortunately, our Constitution is broad enough in its terms, flexible enough in its spirit, and capable of liberal enough interpretation by the judiciary to permit the adaptation of democracy to changing conditions without serious difficulty. In his book entitled On the Agenda of Democracy, Merriman revealed what is meant by democracy. It means the adoption of communist socialist principles and goals. Many gradual step-by-step alterations were introduced leading toward the decline and eventual elimination of the state as an entity. There were other people, British advisors, all kinds of people that were jumping on board. I'm holding in my hand a copy of a document, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, from 1992. Resolutions memorializing the Congress of the United States to initiate the constitutional procedures to enable the United States to participate in a representative world federal government. It was signed by the President of the Senate and was adopted on May 13, 1992, Clerk of the Senate, and was offered by Senator Frederick E. Berry. It's in the record. Go look it up. All of these stories, ladies and gentlemen, will be included and put on the website. We cannot defeat what we do not understand. We cannot stop what we are seeing unless we understand the mechanism that's being used, whence it was born, who carried it out. As I said earlier, the who, what, where, and why. And it's not going to take a great stretch of the imagination to call your senator and your congressman in Washington, D.C., tell them you have important information of the overthrow of the United States, that they have been wittingly or unwittingly brought into this. Once they are given the information, there can be no denial. They're either guilty or not guilty. Guilty of not taking action, or not guilty by a way of awakening and stopping what's going on inside the United States. We'll continue on the other side of this break. By the way, I will be sitting in for Mr. Robbie Noel on this day. I'll be sitting in on the flip side, talking about somewhat modified information for that program and that audience, but I'll be talking about the banking, which is at the core of our problems right now. It's the globalist elite chain around our neck, and they're choking us right now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Flu and cold season are almost here. I watch as many rush to inject themselves with a magic potion of drugs to prevent sickness, never knowing what's in the needle. Now that's a form of trust I don't have. What's my choice? Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea cleanses the body from chemicals, toxins, parasites, and more. And the ingredients are written on the package. It's all natural, it's safe, and of course, it works. My name is Ronnie McMullen, host of the national talk show program, The Prophetic Watch. I wouldn't put my name and approval on this product if it didn't work. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are waiting. Take charge of your life. GetTheTea.com.
Deep in the Brazilian rainforest of the Amazon grows the acai berry. Considered to be one of nature's most complete and healthy foods, the acai berry is loaded with antioxidants, amino acids, essential omegas, fibers, phytonutrients, and protein. A superfood? Yes. YourLivingFruit.com now brings the acai product, the timing, the company, the opportunity, and the cause to you. Some of the health benefits associated with the acai berry are increase in sustained energy, help with cholesterol management, improvement of digestive system, strengthening immune system, and more. Acai berry boasts 10 times the antioxidant benefits of grapes and twice that of blueberries. Are acai berry health benefits right for you? Is the opportunity right for you? Find out at YourLivingFruit.com. YourLivingFruit.com will show you the remarkable and continually documented health benefits of the acai berry. Visit YourLivingFruit.com. That's YourLivingFruit.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
You know, folks, it came to my attention how weak some of the 9/11 truth seekers from academia, how they could be so compelling and so strong in one area and then be so weak in others. Now, and I'm not going to state on this program that they were part of the program or the adepts or the change agents themselves. I would simply suggest that they were indoctrinated to the point that they didn't even know the difference between a constitutional republic or what they themselves were taught at university to in turn teach in academia to the next generation. I was totally disheartened and dismayed as these people got off topic and start talking about other things. I saw the true colors coming forth. Well, these people are no longer on this network. In Massachusetts, Governor Weld signs law ending all county government. This was carried by the Boston Herald back in July 12th of 1997, just a couple of days after the 4th of July, Independence Day. Governor William F. Weld yesterday signed into law a historic bill to abolish county governments in Massachusetts, adding his own measure to ensure its elimination by 1999. Quoting him, over the past three centuries, counties have become obsolete, inward-looking bureaucracies with dozens of departments and department heads that serve themselves and not the taxpayer. The legislation that we are signing today is a good first step in eliminating a vestige of Massachusetts' colonial government. This government that he called colonial was the way for you and I, ladies and gentlemen, to control the politics and to make sure the law is being upheld by the local citizenry. What you first stepped on when you walked out your front door of your house in your own backyard, so to speak. Weld's action means bankrupt Middlesex County will be immediately eliminated and the state will assume all of its debts. Earlier this year, Middlesex County defaulted on a $4.5 million in bonds. Worcester and Hampton counties would be eliminated within 1 year under the bill, or sooner if they default on payments. There's that cost of government, folks. However, Weld vetoed sections approved by the legislature, which have been allowed 10 other counties to establish local commissions to rewrite their charters or face eliminations. Weld said that the provision only preserved the bloated status quo and would allow counties to continue to unnecessarily soak up taxpayer funds. And see, this is what the corporation was set up to do, ladies and gentlemen, to suck the lifeblood out of the counties to go more to the states so they could be mismanaged, not to have our own budgets, and to control the doings and the goings-on in our own counties, in our own cities. These little corporations, little socialist boards that we have set up all over this country, it is a problem, but one that can be dealt with under law and under state constitution, that it's readily rectified by us if we so desire, if we get off of our overstuffed arses to go and do it. See, a lot of this, ladies and gentlemen, depends on us. The state is the solution to our problem, but we have to get the state back on the constitutional rails, and we can control our own city governments, our township, and our state legislatures. But it's going to take an awakened citizenry to do it. Orange County, there was a plan here that'll be posted as well to eliminate supervisors. Numerous stories by the adepts that were writing for various newspapers to condition people. Studies on streamlined regional government, how it's be proposed and how to abolish. And the reason I am doing this at this time is out of necessity, because of this great economic crisis we are in, because of this mismanagement by the states, we are necessarily going to have to do this for survival, because after all, ladies and gentlemen, it's for you. Now, I'm only in halfway through with a lot of the documentation and stories eliminated into the introduction of this. Franklin Delano Roosevelt really was a card-carrying communist, no doubt. But we have the second installment getting ready to take place in January, the inauguration of Barack Hussein Obama. Executive orders. Now, this is a violation of separation of powers. A lot of damage has been done. And again, our Congress, with not overturning not one of the thousands and thousands and thousands of executive orders which smashed the barriers of that separation of powers, not one of these executive orders has ever been overturned by the Congress. Not one. Tell me that this guy sitting in the White House is just a figurehead. He is doing the bidding for the globalist, most assuredly. They had to choose their people carefully. The mistake that was made with George Bush, some people thought he was a complete babbling idiot. He was the useful tool. Is it any wonder he resumed his drinking when he hit the White House again? Reportedly, after 9/11. And continue to this day. Self-medication, folks. You have to numb your own conscience. Executive orders have been with us for a long time. Originally, they were commands by the president to his cabinet. How he wanted the business of his officers conducted. Cleveland, for instance, President Cleveland, for instance, issued 71 of them. McKinley signed 51. They did not deal with the public or the legislation. Then came Teddy Roosevelt, the first of the Roosevelt dynasty, issued 1,006 executive orders. He felt that any power not specifically denied the executive was to his claim, and claim he did. Teddy Roosevelt said, "I decline to adopt the view that what was imperceptibly necessary, or I'm sorry, imperatively necessary for the nation could not be done by the president unless he could find some specific authorization to do it. My belief was that it was not only his right, but his duty to do anything that needs of the nation demanded unless such action was forbidden by the Constitution or by law. Under this interpretation of executive power, I did and caused to be done many things not previously done by the president and the heads of the departments. I did not usurp powers, but I did greatly broaden the use of the executive power." Doublespeak. Walk softly and carry the big stick, ladies and gentlemen. Teddy Roosevelt has been hailed as one of the great presidents. Why? He himself went against the Constitution of the United States. In World War I, Wilson used the implied authority to create all sorts of law, including the Food and Drug Administration, the War Trade Board. It wasn't until the reign of Cousin Franklin in the dynasty of the Roosevelts that Congress got nervous. There was so much new law in the raw deal that Congress passed the Federal Register Act. At that point, all executive orders had to be published and numbered. Since the Fed are less stringent in their application of law, it is estimated that between 20 and 50,000 executive orders have merely slipped between the cracks. They are still recognized by the powers that be. It's just that no one can actually put their finger on them. Clinton had issued 125 numbered executive orders since January 20th, 1993. Are there more? Well, your guess is as good as anybody's. Remember, the things are still regarded as law even though you cannot find them or refer to them. Also, we will include all of these writings in these documents that we will put make available to the website. And ladies and gentlemen, I am serious about this. Once you have the information in hand, there could be no denying what has happened in this country. All your city council people, all your township boards, all your state legislators, all your Congress critters, all 535 of them are going to get a copy of this. It's going to be up to us to do this, but they cannot claim ignorance anymore. They cannot claim ignorance. As said by many judges, ignorance of the law is no excuse. And if you abide by the tyranny and you do nothing to stop it, you are just as culpable. In 1943, there were some congressmen. We were reeling from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Some congressmen and governors who repudiated the plan, the National Resource Planning Board, and yet today all that FDR was trying to get installed is almost completely operative. The United States is almost totally within the clutches of the New Deal. This explains what the New Deal was all about. Below are some of the comments made by Congress and was asked to approve FDR's overall economic planning presented to them in 1943. What they foresaw has come true. And again, let me underscore the need for Barack Hussein Obama in the White House in 2009 to put the finishing touches and to put this plan, this parallel government that has been sitting and waiting and planned for all these years, into action. Congressman Frederick C. Smith said this, "To me, it is truly alarming that such a destructive force as this could grow its present size and power without the Congress and the country becoming more aware of its dangers than it apparently has. there is not the remotest possibility of reading into law the Economic Stabilization Act of 1931 used as the authority for this program, any authority whatsoever for performance of this whole range of functions that are now being carried out. There is nothing in the act which gives this federal agency any authority to plan a new economic and social order, as its activities clearly indicate it is an undertaking to do. Congressman John Rankin, if this program proposed by our so-called National Resource Planning Board were put into effect, it would wreck this republic, wipe out the Constitution, destroy our form of government, set up a totalitarian regime, eliminate private enterprise, regiment our people, and pile on the backs a burden of expenditures that no nation on earth could bear. What do we have today? Why did George Bush, together with the Treasury and the Fed Reserve Chairman, do what they've just done to the American people? Put on our backs a burden of expenditures that no nation on earth could bear, or its people. And it's going on worldwide. Congressman Claire Hoffman, that horde of bureaucrats which promulgates the multiplicity of orders, rules, regulations, and directives have presumed to take solely unto themselves the prerogative of interpreting the intentions of the Congress, of reading into the enactments meaning never even thought of by Congress. Congressman Gerald W. Landis, it is a sugar-coated proposal to be directed by bureaucrats in Washington, the social planners' purpose to build this program on a foundation of debt. Congressman Noah M. Mason, it is a scheme to give the federal government control of every activity of the nation, with the states pushed back into a position of impotence, if not entirely obliterated. Any state that does not cooperate with the program is to be policed from Washington until it sees the light. Ralph Carr, governor of Colorado, of which we've mentioned in these documents before, he said, this plan to commence the remodeling of the lives of the American freemen is on a basis so dictatorial, so monarchistic, so bureaucratic, that its very exposition proves its hostility to our American form of government. When we mix the lives and the hopes and dreams of human beings with physical resources and attempts to measure and modify and restrict men and their intangibles, then we should proceed slowly. That was just FDR. I have 11 more presidents, ladies and gentlemen, to bring up to current status of what George Bush and the boys are doing to lay the groundwork. And we already know it's coming in Washington. Very thinly disguised president that is a dyed-in-the-wool socialist for the common good, mind you, just for the common good. In these extraordinary times, it's going to take extraordinary measures. We have already been warned, and we've been told. I just might continue on Monday with this. It is important, folks. And again, I will say that we can either keep hacking at the branches, keep giving you stories day after day after day that is only a reflection, only a symptom of the cause and disease, or we can eliminate all this other stuff, get down to the true plan that has been in the works for so many years and being brought to almost complete fruition. Almost complete. But once people see the plan, once people understand the mechanism, once you understand why all of our elected officials keep referring to this country as a democracy, we can now call them on the proverbial carpet. We can give them the information. We can tell them either stand up against it or vacate your seat. You are no longer a representative of the people under law. You've abrogated your responsibility to uphold the states and federal constitutions. You have not done your job. You are in willful compliance with the globalists that are destroying this country. And we'll let them decide. And we will not know, not all of them, if they wittingly or unwittingly went along with a plan. They could have done it out of sheer ignorance. They could have done it out of present-day necessity. They could have done it for a myriad of reasons, but all of those reasons are wrong. This constitutional republic, ladies and gentlemen, will survive if you, the informed populace, want it to. It's going to be your choice and your decision. Act we must, but we must act now. We'll break here, come back on the other side, and finish up this Friday edition of the National Intel Report.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Take a stand for health. Life-Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins. Lower blood sugar levels. Annihilate acid reflux. Lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
People have been after me for a number of years. John, why don't you do video presentations or DVDs? And I was just thinking during the break that if I can amass a good number of producers and editors, that I would make my one and only DVD presentation based on the information that I've been relaying on these past two editions of the National Intel Report to make it undeniable. Because, folks, we can keep whining about the tyrannical police powers and the arrogance of these jackbooted thugs, or we can complain about the judiciary not giving us justice in courts, or we can keep complaining that we're trying to address our state and federal governments with no remediation whatsoever, not even a friendly ear. We can keep talking about this, or we can put out the plan that they have been following and demand a change. As I said earlier, change it must. By the way, Harry S. Truman, just to start off here, I guess I'm going to run through the rest of the 11 other presidents to date to bring it current before Barack Hussein Obama takes office. On Harry S. Truman, upon FDR's death, Vice President Truman moved into the Oval Office. Membership in the communist-dominated United Nations, started by FDR, was finalized during Mr. Truman's administration, and the U.S. became bound by the massive changes required and yet to come via the demands within the U.N. Charter. A world government, when an upcoming world army was being built, which expected to lay hold of our U.S. armed forces and commandeer them for use in the world. And that was for government command and control. The people of the United States were never asked if they wanted to give up their constitutional government or their military or their Bill of Rights. Remember what happened with Michael New when he said he didn't, under the commander of in operations in Macedonia, said, "I'm not taking orders from somebody wearing a blue beret." That's where PDD 25, the Presidential Directive 25, came into bear. And they said that we can't release that information, that Mr. New, you're guilty as charged. The decision was made by international socialists on the federal level. They didn't consult the states, and there never was a vote taken by the people. Secretary of State Stenatis signed the U.N. Charter with Harry Truman standing nearby on June 26, 1945. The Senate ratified it on July 28, 1945 as a treaty, but it didn't qualify as a treaty. This charter is a complete reversal of what our founding fathers stood for. Sold as a way to stop wars, it has never reached that goal after 68 years of existence. Instead, its plan for a world government has been the cause of many of our unnecessary wars. The charter is responsible for many of the alterations in the U.S. form of government. Going back to Vietnam, that's why it was a police action and not a war, a declared war by Congress. It was a police action, folks. Korea was a police action. It was only a call to war, and then the Congress for Iraq and Afghanistan gave George Bush the ability to preemptively take action without congressional approval to fight the supposed terrorist. Instead, the plan for world government has been the cause, as I said, of the unnecessary wars. The United Nations human rights treaties are formulas for the communist lifestyle. In 1791, the Bill of Rights drafted by the Founding Fathers would be outlawed someday, replaced with a communist Bill of Rights document. Entry into the UN meant the end of the Declaration of Independence, funded by the tax-exempt foundations, the merger of the USA, the FDR's New Deal, but he renamed it the Fair Deal. Truman signed the National Security Act in 1947, which gave birth to the CIA. In 1948, he closed the files on communist with the Truman Directive. That was Harry S. Truman. We'll see you back here Monday, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be filling in for Robbie on the flip side next hour.
Let me tell you why